This is Jay Sekulow. Quite a week in Washington, D.C. with Fast and Furious, with the internet and Benghazi hearings. And next week, more hearings on the IRS.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
But ICON has no power to force any of these root servers to do what it says. I mean, they could easily just bypass ICON and coordinate amongst themselves. Is that not true?
That's an interesting proposal. That might be one of the proposals that comes back. The root server operators are an independent group of technology companies.
Right.
They may well suggest a proposal for they taking title to the root as opposed to giving it to ICANN. We'll wait and see. But the questions you ask are the hypotheticals that might be answered by a proposal.
This is an important condition, and I understand Mr. Strickling's comment that it wouldn't have happened. But it's good for the world to understand. This is impossible to happen. It will not happen. And I believe we will come back with a proposal that allays all these fears.
My analyst said that there was a protest. I also believed it to be a terrorist attack. You see, we never saw those two things as mutually exclusive.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator.
Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. It has been quite a week in Washington, D.C., as we've discussed a couple of major points. Number one, of course, has been this ongoing controversy over the internet. It looks like we've got wide support from all 50 states of American citizens that do not want to see ICANN. That's the organization that's tasked with the entire control of domain names, user access, that is being controlled right now by the United States, has been since it was put in place, since the internet was made commercially available. President Obama, through the Commerce Department, said he was going to transfer that to an international body. Former President Clinton said he opposed that. He thought that was a mistake because there are regimes that would like nothing more than getting control of the internet, including Russia and China, and that would be so that they would squelch First Amendment freedoms and liberty. So we put a very aggressive plan together last week. We were able to get hearings this week in the House. There's been specific legislation introduced. In fact, I'm going to be joined by Congressman Mike Kelly in just a few moments to discuss where this is now going. We also got word that there was in the United States Senate, Senator Cruz has now dropped legislation that would not allow this to take place absent congressional approval. The president was going to do this, by the way, through, again, the administrative process. Remember, he said he was going to use his pen and he was going to use his phone? Well, that's what he was going to do. He's going to have it basically done administratively through the Commerce Department. So we are optimistic that it's moving in the right direction now. We've had a big support from you all. 114,000 people have contacted us just online. When I add phone calls to that, we're over probably close to 120,000. So that information now going to Capitol Hill, we've been letting it go during the week. We also are going to be talking about that. What does this mean for you, the American people? And then later in the broadcast, in the second half hour, we're going to have Naghma Al-Madini, a great interview and an update from her and one of our lawyers working on that case, Tiffany Behrens. You're not going to want to miss any of that. So we've got a lot more ahead. Coming up, you're not going to want to miss it, my interview with Congressman Mike Kelly. He's got legislation again to not allow the internet to get in this foreign control. This is the last day for you to sign on to that petition. Let's get it over 120,000. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. I'm going to encourage you to make that call today or go to ACLJ.org today. This is the last day that we're going to have this discussed on radio, at least for now. So we want to get those final numbers to the House and Senate by Monday morning. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
Yeah. As we know, the internet has become one of the most powerful communications and information platforms on the planet. And since its inception, the technical management of the internet has rested with the United States. But now the Obama administration wants to change that and put control of this vital resource into the hands of a multinational body, perhaps even the UN. Such a move is extremely dangerous and will put Americans at great risk. Turning over control of the internet to countries like Russia and China will jeopardize free speech, could open the door to a global tax on web use, and even more concerning, make it easier for massive cyber fraud schemes to expand in countries around the globe. America has kept the internet free for decades. There is no reason to trust that dictators from Russia and China will protect our freedoms. Stand with the ACLJ and send a message to President Obama and to Congress. Maintain American control and protect our online liberty. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Jimmy, that if we give up this domain jurisdiction that we've had, that we'll lose internet freedom?
Yeah, I'm very worried about it. It's something that through the years, when people would say, maybe young activists in Germany would say, oh, it's terrible. Why should the U.S. have this special power? And I said, well, you know, in principle, I understand what you're saying. However, there is the First Amendment in the U.S., and there is a culture around free expression that's so strong that it's really important.
Hey, folks, as we get ready to go to Congressman Mike Kelly, let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Sign that petition. The hearing's today, but we're going to update these numbers during the week. ACLJ.org to sign that petition or 1-877-989-2255. Well, joining us right now on the phone is Congressman Mike Kelly. He's the Committee on Ways and Means member and is the primary author with co-sponsorship here of legislation directly aimed at the situation with the internet transfer of control from ICANN. Congressman, thanks for being with us today.
Jay, thanks for having me on. This is an important topic that I think most America maybe doesn't know about but needs to hear.
Well, you're right. We started talking about it on air last week, and the response has been, quite frankly, overwhelming. When people really understood what was at stake, the response we've gotten is well over 100,000 people have contacted us. Congressman, tell us first, how did you find out this was happening? We found out, of course, when some news broke. What was the sense? Was it coming through committees? Did you all know this was about to happen? What was your sense?
No, I mean, this is typical of the way things are done in Washington. It was announced on a Friday afternoon when nobody is paying attention, and it kind of drifts through the weekend, and then the new week starts, and of course, there's always something new that comes up right away. With that dawn on Monday morning comes a whole new set of issues and topics that people talk about. So this has kind of slid by, and nobody saw it coming and didn't expect it. But then I heard about it. Actually, it was on a broadcast, and I heard that the United States was going to walk away from this oversight position, this bodyguard position, and kind of turn it loose and come up with some type of a group of people, coalition of countries and businesses and such that would control this. And then I talked to our guys in the office. I was actually on the road listening to this. And then I called the office right away, and I said, look, what's happening? And then they started to look into it, and our staff really got involved, and they called me back right away and said, this is horrible. And this leads to, again, the walk away of this administration to things that we think are very, very important for us and to protect the internet in a way that we think is essential in order for it to perform the function that we believe makes sense, and that's that everybody can use it the right way, and there's not different limitations put on it. So that's how I heard about it. The staff then got really involved in it,
yeah.
And they looked at it. And then, of course, Jay, you know, talking with people like you and others who understand these issues, that can bring them out and get them out into the public domain is what we need to do.
Let me ask you this, Congressman, because the scope and ramifications of this, the first couple of days we talked about it, and people saying, well, it sounds complicated. Commerce is going to transfer this authority to another international body. Then we explain, well, you know, it's not controlled by an international body. It's controlled right now by the United States. It's going to be given over to possibly a UN-controlled entity, which will include representatives from China and Russia. To the everyday citizen in your district around the country that's saying, well, does this really impact me? We've laid out the case that it has. How would you explain this to your constituents, that this really does have a direct impact on their daily lives and could have an impact on their daily use of the Internet?
Well, anytime you relinquish your oversight role or your ability to kind of ride herd over this, you're giving up your ability to actually have input that would maintain our stewardship of this. And I think that for the average person going back and forth, they say, well, how could that really affect me? Well, it affects you in so many different ways because you have other people now involved in it making decisions for American citizens that have nothing to do with America and, quite frankly, don't like America and would do things to make it almost impossible for us to use the Internet in the way we think it was designed. It's taking away our ability to communicate freely and with an outlook that makes sense for America, and then all of a sudden putting it under the domains are the key things here, because
sure,
they're
right.
Actually territories that are owned or controlled by the government. You have to be able to maintain those sites. If you can't do that, it's totally out of control and it becomes chaotic, Jay.
Let me ask you this, because you've got this transfer proposal. You got Bill Clinton, who, when he was president, the Internet became more commercially available to citizens, to individuals around the globe. He said, don't do this. So you've got Democrats speaking out. Why is the president doing it? I'm trying to think, what is the political gain here? Or why would the president, in the middle of everything's going on right now, you've got Russia with Crimea, Russia and Ukraine, you've got problems and difficulties with China. Why in the world would the president now decide that commerce should relinquish control of this?
Well, I think we have a president that, quite frankly, isn't like anybody else we've ever had sit in that office before. He does not believe in the fact that America is an exceptional country. I think he looks at us as more of a problem than as a position of leadership and leading the way. And, you know, now you go back to some of the things that happened with the NSA and what happened with Snowden, and I think he's feeling pressure from some people saying, you know, you didn't handle this the right way. He has more of a tendency to walk away from problems than to actually solve problems. Now, it was inevitable that at some point the U.S. was going to surrender some of its leverage. But why would we prematurely, and especially at a time when the world is so upside down right now, why would we walk away from a stewardship position, from a bodyguard position, where we allow people internationally to communicate and have the ability to do that, and put it in the hands of some bad actors that, quite frankly, would like to see those abilities diminished? It just doesn't make sense. Why this president is doing
yeah.
it? This has been, I don't think we've had 5 years of more head scratching and shoulder raising to try and understand what it is that this man is trying to accomplish. At the end of the day, most of us come up with a feeling like this isn't really benefiting America. This isn't really pushing forward an American agenda. This isn't pushing for and championing American exceptionalism. This is a president that is more inclined to be a global person. I don't
yeah,
know exactly what office he's running for, but he just keeps
I said
going.
Secretary General of the United Nations the other day, because I really believe he has this kind of international globalist kind of worldview, and that worldview takes us into areas we shouldn't be going, like this transfer of the Internet right now. I would think, Congressman, if there was a time to do it, this would be the worst time to do it right now with the instability around the globe.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, where can you look on a globe right now and not point and touch, this is a hot spot, this is a trouble area? These are areas that are going to become worse. Geopolitically, I think we have suffered more under this administration's agenda and its policies than at any time in our past. So you look at it, and again, I'm with you. Why now? Why would you surrender that ability now of oversight? Why would you take American sovereignty out of this issue and say, no, it's time to open it up to a group of people? We don't know who they're going to be yet. We don't know what their goals are. We don't know what their strategy is. But you know, doggone it, it's time for us to stop trying to ram these things down people's throats. This is a president, and I, you know what? You and I have to have these conversations before. He doesn't really champion this country. He champions an altogether different agenda that doesn't make sense to Americans. I would just say, looking at his background, it's not surprising. Looking at his performance, it's not surprising. Looking into the future, it is scary.
All right, let's talk about the solution to this, because we've got the problem well laid out. You laid it out well. We've been laying it out for a week. And by the way, Congressman, we've heard from 102,164 people, probably close to 105,000 people already, that want legislation like you're proposing to fix it. We know what the problem is with this transfer. We know the impact it's going to have. Now, let's talk about how do we fix it. What is the move you've made in the introduction of legislation to protect all of us in this situation?
Okay, you know, and Jane, I'm going to read this because it's so simple. This isn't like most legislation that comes out of Congress. This is going to be called the Internet Stewardship Act. And here's what it says. The Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Communications and Information may not relinquish or agree to relinquish the responsibilities of the National Telecommunications and Information Administration with respect to Internet domain name functions, including responsibility with respect to the authoritative root zone file, the Internet assigned numbers authority functions, or the related root zone management functions, unless such relinquishment is permitted by a statute enacted under the date of the enactment of this act. Listen, this is about Congress saying, listen, we're not turning over anything to anybody unless we, as Congress, decide to let that happen. We have to have some way of keeping this president from continuing to walk away from America's most important responsibilities, our stewardship and our oversight, and our ability to be bodyguards for a very delicate situation right now.
Yep.
And so it's very simple, Jay. It's very simple to understand. It's just, you know what? You can't do anything unless Congress says it's time to do it, and we agree that it can be done. And I don't want to hear about we're going to run a study and find out about it. We better know exactly, clearly, definitely, how this is being done, why it's being done, and what the outcomes are concerned. I am so sick and tired of hearing these are unintended consequences. Well, you know what? They're not unpainful. And they're also not unfixable. We can fix this, and we can keep this horse from getting out of the barn by closing the barn door before it escapes.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Congressman Mike Kelly, his vision for America and where he sees the president and the path that he's taking us down. But we need your support right now. You heard what the congressman said. It's critical that the American people speak out. We did have, and this is encouraging, over 100,000 of you contact us at ACLJ.org. Again, sign on to that petition right now, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more, including Congressman Mike Kelly, in just a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. As we know, the Internet has become one of the most powerful communications and information platforms on the planet. And since its inception, the technical management of the Internet has rested with the United States. But now the Obama administration wants to change that and put control of this vital resource into the hands of a multinational body, perhaps even the UN. Such a move is extremely dangerous and will put Americans at great risk. Turning over control of the Internet to countries like Russia and China will jeopardize free speech, could open the door to a global tax on on web use, and even more concerning, make it easier for massive cyber fraud schemes to expand in countries around the globe. America has kept the internet free for decades. There is no reason to trust that dictators from Russia and China will protect our freedoms. Stand with the ACLJ and send a message to President Obama and to Congress. Maintain American control and protect our online liberty. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Over the internet at the level of ICANN's work is really in the hands already of the stakeholders. It is not in the hands of the U.S. What the U.S. simply has is a stewardship, I call it, rather than oversight, a stewardship role to ensure that the core functions we do are done according to the policy set by all the stakeholders, not by the U.S. government. And I think that it is time for the U.S. to consider that this stewardship is ready to be passed to the stakeholders, as it has always envisaged.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Congressman Mike Kelly, I talked to him moments before we went live today to get his insight on this upcoming hearing on the internet transfer. Go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Sign that petition. The hearing's today, but we're going to update these numbers during the week. ACLJ.org to sign that petition or 1-877-989-2255. We've got a bill here that's going to basically prohibit the National Telecommunications and Information Administration from relinquishing responsibilities, as Congressman outlined, with respect to internet domain names and related functions, absent congressional approval. Now, the president said, Congressman, he was going to act with a pen and a phone, because if he can't get it done through the legislative process. And basically, it's true that he was going to do that through the Commerce, the Department of Commerce. They were just going to release this. But this is an effective block, correct? This could block his action with a pen.
Yes, and that's the whole purpose behind it. Jay, I got to tell you, when I go back home in Western Pennsylvania, I have people ask me all the time, what are you guys doing to stop this man from doing what he's doing to our country? There are certain things we can do. This is one of the things we can exercise. This is one of the powers that we do have, and we have to push. And what really helps, Jay, is for you to do what you keep doing and making sure Americans are informed. It's always, it's what you don't know that'll hurt you.
Right.
It's what you don't know that can kill you. This is a very dangerous time for America. It's a very dangerous time for the world. And it's a very dangerous time for America from geopolitical consequences as we continue to walk away from commitments that make our friends and our allies wonder, where are they? They are MIA right now, and we have to have them with us, and they have to lock arms, and we have to make sure that we can stop the type of things that are going on in the world today, and we can do it by acting early and not waiting for something bad to happen.
What is the reaction, Congressman, been with your colleagues right now? Because, as I said, Bill Clinton came out very strongly opposed to President Obama's actions here. Even some of the Democratic consultants and commentators on the news, again, were coming out. What is your sense on that? What about the colleagues here on Capitol Hill?
Well, I think the more they learn about it, and again, Jay, as you know, there's so much going on all the time that sometimes there's these things that happen off to the side that distract you. There's all these distractions from seeing what's really going on. So our job has been, at least this office, as we work with our colleagues, is to make them informed of what's going on, whether it's United Nations Arms Trade Treaty, which is dangerous to our sovereignty and the way we handle our guns trade, or whether it's about the domain and the way we're trying to make sure that we have a stewardship over the internet. We have to let people know, and our job has been, like your job, while you're doing it nationally over the airwaves, we're trying to do it internally through our colleagues and the friendships and the relationships that we've developed here, saying, listen, you may not know about this. This is what's happening. So we get the information out to different offices. They read it. They get back to us. We share information the same as anybody would do to make sure that we are aware of what's happening and the consequences if we don't act strongly and we don't act quickly.
Congressman, let me ask you this. It's a little broader than the legislation here, but you look at the agenda of the administration. You're right. It's kind of this apologizing for the American exceptionalism. I gave a speech last week where I talked about American exceptionalism, and you're right. I think the president's embarrassed by it. So this is what he does. There's other areas where we see it as well. I mean, this is kind of this ongoing debate that we're all having is what path are we going down as a country right now? And how do you see it? I mean, you're coming up to midterm elections, not far away. How do you see it? Are we at that kind of fork in the road point here?
I think we are. And I mentioned this before. when you look at the world in the 1930s and you look to Europe at what was happening in Germany and how the Nazis were advancing their agenda and their cars, and they were actually heralded back then as people who really turned an economy around, and they became the darlings of the world, and people started to look at them and say, listen, they're doing the right things. I'm watching what's happening right now. And we're saying to ourselves, listen, appeasement and walking away from our role as leaders is not acceptable. We will never, ever be at the situation. I hear people tell me all the time, listen, we're war weary. We're tired of being in leadership. I got to tell you this. When you're the leader, you don't get tired.
Right.
You don't have the option to sit back and say, this is a fight I don't want to fight.
Right.
This is one I'll let somebody else handle. Are you kidding me? Who else is there? If it is not for the United States of America, it is not for America and who we are. The world suffers. Now, some people say, you're being cocky. You're being boastful. No, this is a pride that is a result of over 1.6 million men and women in uniform giving their lives to make sure that freedom and liberty was able to survive in a world of bad actors. With us taking a diminished role right now and not being in the front, how in the world do you lead from the rear? That is absolutely ridiculous. What you do is you always stand there, you're always up front, and you're always the one that's out there early and often, and you don't get tired, you don't get weary. What you do is you get re-energized every time you go into that battle, because doggone it, if it isn't for us, the world suffers. I think President Reagan had it right from the start. He talked about that shining city on a hill that everybody aspired to be and wanted to get to. If we don't start recognizing that and understanding, with that leadership comes a responsibility. And with that responsibility comes that fact that you cannot get tired. You have to reinvigorate yourself all the time. You have to re-energize yourself all the time. And you have to get up every morning and throw your feet out over the bed and say, I'm going to save the world. I'm going to save my country. I'm going to save my state, my region, my family. If we don't have that type of blood running through our veins, then we relinquish everything that America has ever stood for. It's just that simple. It's not a hard thing to figure out. What makes me mad is that people sit back and say, well, maybe it's somebody else's turn. Say, really? Look behind you. There is nobody behind you.
Well, that is
you.
And we have no country to flee to. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. Right. Hey, Congressman, I really appreciate you taking the lead on this and bringing this to the attention. I appreciate your vision of our country and the leadership role we take. And you're right. You know, as leaders, you don't have the option of saying, I don't want to lead tomorrow. That's not the way it works, because if you had that option, you wouldn't be a leader. It's that simple.
Yeah, Jay, you know what? Listen, I'll tell you what. This is like a schedule that never ends. This is just one more game that came up right now. This is one game we have to win. This is one battle we have to win. And you know what? We'll win this one, and then tomorrow we'll get up and there'll be another one to fight. But the idea is you just keep getting up and you just keep fighting. You never let them knock you down. You never let them knock you off your pins, or you never let them knock you off course. We know where we're heading. You know what? We know what our responsibilities are, and we know we can do it because of who we are. We are America.
All right, Congressman. Thanks for being with us. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks so much.
Perfect. We're going to have more reports on this in the days ahead. But, folks, as Congressman said, this is just one battle out of many. But as he said, I also believe it. We can win this. Again, we need your help. We're over 100,000 signatures. We'd love to get to 110,000. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on the petition. Last day to do it. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 to sign on to that petition. Remember, share us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook as well. Follow Jordan on Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSekulow. If you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110.
None were level on the vine. No matter of it is worth no, no, no. No reason to get excited. The thief kindly spoke. There are many among us here who fear that life's but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and it's not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now. The hour's getting late, yeah.
As we know, the internet has become one of the most powerful communications and information platforms on the planet. And since its inception, the technical management of the internet has rested with the United States. There is no reason to trust that dictators from Russia and China will protect our freedoms. Stand with the ACLJ and send a message to President Obama and to Congress. Maintain American control and protect our online liberty. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org.
To the broadcast. We are going to jump right into this interview that Jay did with Bill Hemmer on Fox News about the ongoing IRS scandal. I wanted to play it for you. Let's go ahead and roll it.
Jay Sekulow is the executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice and with us out of Franklin, Tennessee. Jay, how are you? And good morning to you.
Hey, Bill.
On this Friday.
Good morning.
What's taken so long? I hear Republicans all the time say we're going to hold her in contempt. Why not just do it already?
Well, I think there was about 3 months, you bring up a good point, but there was 3 months kind of lost here where there was negotiations going back and forth between Lois Lerner's attorney and Daryl Issa's committee counsel trying to work out what's called a proffer, where she would tell the committee in camera, not in public first, what she would testify to. Then there would be an offer of immunity, and then she would testify. That was being negotiated, and then it ended up not happening. Remember, even I was on your broadcast right before the hearing last month. A day before, Daryl Issa was convinced that she was going to testify, and the lawyer sent mixed email messages, and ultimately, of course, she did not testify.
So you're suggesting there's still negotiations going back and forth, because I'm trying to figure out whether or not the committee members are crying wolf or not. It's gone on so long.
Yeah, no, I don't have firsthand. I'm handling the civil litigation, but Bill, I'm sure there's dialogue going on back and forth between Lois Lerner and her counsel. If not, the committee's going to set for a discussion and maybe even a vote next week to hold her in contempt, which would start the process of contempt proceedings, but that would take many months to fulfill. Right. But that process could start as early as next week.
Here's what the chairman says, Daryl Issa, now on the screen for our viewers, and I'll read it. Documents and testimony point to Lois Lerner as a senior IRS official responsible for conduct that deprived Americans of their rights to free speech and equal protection under our laws. Ms. Lerner's involvement in wrongdoing and refusal to meet her legal obligations has left the committee with no alternative but to consider a contempt finding. If that's the case from ISA, will it happen this week, Jay? Sorry, next week, in a matter of days.
I think there's a very good chance that the committee, at least the committee, will vote this week to hold Lois Lerner in contempt. You know, there's going to be a legal issue, Bill, with regard to whether she actually waived her Fifth Amendment privilege. Mm-hmm. I believe she did. She made that pre-statement where before she actually said, I'm going to plead the Fifth or will plead the Fifth, she said, I did nothing wrong. I broke no laws. I broke no IRS regulations or rules. And then she said, I'm taking the Fifth. And generally, that's viewed as a waiver. That could become a big legal issue in her contempt proceeding. I also want to say something else here, Bill. She is a key figure, but she is not the only key figure. She's the only figure, however, that has taken the Fifth Amendment in this process. She made statements to the Department of Justice in their ongoing investigation, but she was not under oath at the time. So it's an interesting dynamic. Others have testified, and of course the emails have pointed to her heavy involvement, but others even higher up the chain of command inside of the IRS also heavily involved.
Two more quick things here, Jay. Democrats contend that the proper procedure was not followed, and therefore you cannot proceed with immunity. We'll see whether they do to that or not. But who are the higher-ups after Lerner that you refer to?
Well, Bill, I think you have to, there's this one key email that came out, and that was an email to Lois Lerner, one from Lois Lerner to the FEC. That person needs to be talked with and certainly brought before the committee. But I think the chief counsel of the IRS and the deputy chief counsels who are on an email to Lois Lerner about this, with correspondence going back and forth, the deputy chief counsels, there's only five of those, and they report directly to the chief counsel of the IRS. I think that points to a much higher link, if you will, as far as who's in authority and control. So the question becomes, was Lois Lerner merely, which is still illegal what she did, implementing a plan, or did she create the plan herself? I don't think we have the answer to that yet. The email seemed to indicate there were individuals in chief counsel's office involved. They need to be brought before the committee. I'm certainly going to try to notice them up for depositions in our civil case, but Congress should move forward in that way.
Thank you. We'll see what happens. We'll get Daryl Issa on our program next week and see what the next step is in that. Thank you very much. Jay Sekulow, Franklin, Tennessee.
Thanks, Bill.
Again, folks, that was Jay with Bill Hemmer on Fox News. We will keep you posted on that contempt vote next week. If you want to stand for a free internet, folks, as we go to a break, you go to your phones, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Again, 877-989-2255.
As we know, the internet has become one of the most powerful communications and information platforms on the planet. And since its inception, the technical management of the internet has rested with the United States. But now the Obama administration wants to change that and put control of this vital resource into the hands of a multinational body, perhaps even the UN. Such a move is extremely dangerous and will put Americans at great risk. Turning over control of the internet to countries like Russia and China will jeopardize free speech, could open the door to a global tax on web use, and even more concerning, make it easier for massive cyber fraud schemes to expand in countries around the globe. America has kept the internet free for decades. There is no reason to trust that dictators from Russia and China will protect our freedoms. Stand with the ACLJ and send a message to President Obama and to Congress. Maintain American control and protect our online liberty. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Keep it up. Keep your love.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, in these last two segments of the broadcast, I want to get you an update on Pastor Saeed's situation, but I want to get you that update directly from Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme. Nagme and Tiffany Behrens, the international legal director here at the ACLJ, were on My Faith Radio, and Nagme gives really the story of Pastor Saeed's case and his situation, his arrest and imprisonment there in Iran, really from start to finish, folks. So for those of you who have just heard bits and pieces of this or maybe got the update from Jordan about his recent trip to the Middle East but have not yet heard Pastor Saeed's full story, this is a great opportunity to do that because you're going to hear it directly firsthand from his wife. They have two children there as well in Idaho. So again, in these next two segments, you're going to hear from Nagme Abedini and ACLJ counsel Tiffany Behrens. Let's go ahead and roll part one.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to have Nagme Abedini, wife of Pastor Saeed, on the show today, and her legal counsel, Tiffany Behrens, getting an update. First, we got some backstory on just the love story between Saeed and Nagme, and we're going to be catching up here on when he was arrested, what it's been like for him, how we can be praying. Tiffany, we're going to get you on just a moment. One more question, Nagme. When Saeed was taking his last trip to Iran, did you have any sense of impending danger, or did it just feel like every other trip?
You know, honestly, there seemed to be something that I kind of shrugged it off, didn't take it seriously, but I was feeling, I even mentioned to a friend, I said, I feel like this trip's different. And he was supposed to go, he went to England first on a pastor's conference he was speaking at, and then he was supposed to go to Iran. I even told him a few days before we talked about it, and I said, if there's any, if any way you go to England and somehow you feel you shouldn't continue and you can just cancel your ticket or just don't go on the plane and come back, that would be fine. And we talked about it, and he said, okay, well, I'll see. We'll pray with the pastors and see what they say. And my daughter had had a really bad dream that he was getting hurt on this trip, and she never, it was the first time she'd had a dream. And so there was little things, but it, we didn't take it seriously. It was another trip. It was supposed to be 3 weeks. I didn't even, it was not even a big deal. I dropped him off at the airport. It was just little, like, feelings, but it did nothing to really, why am I even, I guess we didn't take it seriously. But there was something within me that said, this trip feels like it's going to be different. But I didn't take it seriously enough. I just, you know, even our goodbye at the airport was really quick. I dropped him off. I said, I'll see you in a few weeks. And that was the last time I saw him.
Oh, bless your heart. How did they notify you that he'd been arrested?
Well, he was supposed to come back in July, and his passport was taken, and he wasn't allowed to come. So he was able to tell me, they took my passport. They're not letting me come. Can you call the travel agency if they can, you know, I can still delay my plane and so on. So that he told me that, but he was under house arrest for a few months, and the kids would talk to him on Skype until one night around midnight. I got a frantic call from his mom, crying and saying, they've taken my son, they've taken my son. I don't know where they've taken him. And it was just a shock, kind of out of nowhere. We felt like this was kind of like the 2009 incident. Maybe they would question him. And he kept calling the intelligence police when he was under house arrest, saying, what's going on? Why am I being not allowed to go back? And they would say, well, we're going to have some questions for you and some questioning. And so we really didn't even anticipate the prison. We thought, oh, it's going to be like 2009. They're going to ask him some questions and they're going to let him go. So this time around, we were even less worried, as I had been in 2009, not knowing what would happen. And when I got the call from his mom, this is, my world fell to pieces. All of a sudden, my husband was taken by these really crazy revolutionary guards that are considered terrorist group by many nations, and we didn't know where he was. And the way he was taken shook the whole family. They still have nightmares about it, and it was just like a nightmare. I couldn't believe that what I was hearing.
Did you get a sense, or do you have the sense looking back, that they were allowing you to have a false sense of security so they could grab them when they wanted to?
No, I feel, and something I've seen over the last year and a half since I've been arrested is, there seemed to have been a shift in from the intelligence police, which are actually more moderate, handling Christianity, to a shift to the Revolutionary Guards, which are the more radicals, the more hardliners handling Christianity. And since I arrest, we've seen so much. We've seen building churches that had been approved by the government have never been shut down, even through the Islamic Revolution starting to the government shutting them down. I feel there was a shift in how the government was going to handle Christianity, and they saw it as a huge threat to their national security, because more and more people were giving their hearts to Christ, and Saeed was a face to that. And so that was one of the ways they decided they're going to handle Christianity, was to shut down all these churches, arrest Saeed, who was a face to the, you know, one of the main faces to the movement in Iran. And I think it was more of a shift in how the government decided to handle Christianity in Iran.
Yeah, really wanting to make an example out of him to scare other people.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. And they told him the first few months, where he got a lot of the beatings, and that's when the internal bleeding started. They told him, and they told his family, they also interrogated his family. But what I heard was, they told him that if you would deny Christ and return to Islam, so all of your followers could see how empty this religion is, then we'll let you go. So they were trying to, you know, see if they could have him. I guess they said, the damage you've caused to the young people, we've tried to convert them back to Islam. They won't do it. Maybe if you if you'd reject Christianity, they would do it. And so they were trying to, either way, they were winning. Either side would convert, say he made a mistake and maybe convince his followers to return to Islam, or if he didn't, they were putting him in prison and showing the followers that this is what will happen to you. You're going to get tortured and abused, and you will get long prison sentences if you follow Christ. So either way, they were, by arresting Said, they were, making an example out of him.
So, Nagami, what did you do? I mean, I can't even imagine where I would go emotionally knowing my husband is being tortured and beaten. I mean, I know the grace of God is with you, but what have you tangibly had to do to keep yourself in a place of peace so that you're not swallowed up by fear and worry?
Well, I was overcome by fear and worry and complete darkness. I could sense how weak, I guess you feel like as a human you're strong, but you're not. I faced my uttermost darkest place and myself. I faced myself and realizing I'm a weak person. I can crumble any second. And I could see myself crumble. And I just reached out to Jesus. I just cried out and said, God, help me. I have to be a mom. I have to be a wife who fights. I have to fight for Said. I can't go down right now into this dark hole of despair. And Jesus really, he's faithful. His words are true. The Bible is true. And when you call out to him and trust him and know that he's in control, even though the situation seems out of control, he gives you peace that surpasses your understanding, better yet, the world's understanding. And that's what happened to me. Just this peace washed over me and this joy that Said would always tell me about. I remember in 2009 when I was saying goodbye to him, he kept saying, don't cry, be happy, this is for the gospel. And he kept telling me, and even before I would hear his voice, he would always tell me, even before the 2009 incident, he would say, if anything ever happens to me or to you, working in a Muslim country, you're always expecting things. He said, just rejoice, because if it's for the gospel, that there's nothing more you should rejoice about than knowing that we're being persecuted for the gospel. So to really experience that joy that says that the Lord gave me through knowing that this is being used by God, and to see it unfold over the last year and a half, how the Lord has used this to reach so many people for Christ has been amazing. Answer to prayers. I've cried thinking about it, how Said had prayed to reach so many for Christ, and this is how it happened, him in prison and his pictures really and on the media and all over the world really doing the preaching. And yeah. It's heartbreaking, but this is the way God has used it in some such a horrible situation for good.
Again, folks, that was Nagme Abedini and Tiffany Behrens from the ACLJ. We will get back to part two of that interview in the next segment of the broadcast. But, folks, if you have not yet signed the petition for Pastor Said's release, this is our obligation as believers and lovers of freedom to stand for those who do not have freedom, who have been wrongfully imprisoned. There is no better opportunity to do that than by signing today for Pastor Said's release. You can do it online at BeHeardProject.com. After the break, you will hear part two of this interview from Nagme Abedini and Tiffany Behrens on My Faith Radio. But as we go to the break, while we're in the break, I would ask you to go to BeHeardProject.com and add your name for Pastor Said's freedom.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford, and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
As we know, the internet has become one of the most powerful communications and information platforms on the planet. And since its inception, the technical management of the internet has rested with the United States. But now the Obama administration wants to change that and put control of this vital resource into the hands of a multinational body, perhaps even the UN. Such a move is extremely dangerous and will put Americans at great risk. Turning over control of the internet to countries like Russia and China will jeopardize free speech, could open the door to a global tax on web use, and even more concerning, make it easier for massive cyber fraud schemes to expand in countries around the globe. America has kept the internet free for decades. There is no reason to trust that dictators from Russia and China will protect our freedoms. Stand with the ACLJ and send a message to President Obama and to Congress. Maintain American control and protect our online liberty. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We are going to jump right back into part two of this interview with Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme Abedini, as well as the International Legal Director of the ACLJ, Tiffany Behrens. They were on My Faith Radio. You just heard part one of this interview. This is, again, Pastor Saeed's story from the perspective of his wife. We're going to play part two of that interview now. If you have not heard all of Pastor Saeed's story, this is a great opportunity to do so. And as you listen, if you have not yet signed the petition for Pastor Saeed's release, this is something that all of us as freedom-loving Americans can agree on. Pastor Saeed should be home. He should be home with his wife and children. If you have not yet put your name behind that effort, today's the day to do so. You can do it at BeHeardProject.com. Again, BeHeardProject.com. Now, part two of the interview, Nagme Abedini and Tiffany Behrens.
He's definitely recovering because much better. He's feeling much better because he is in a hospital versus the prison. He's got food, hot shower, and bed for the first time in 2 years. I mean, good food, like meat, protein. And so just because of that, he's definitely recovering much better. They've given him some medication, but really they haven't really fully it's been a struggle of trying to get him fully treated. Doctors had said previously he needs surgery. He hasn't received a surgery that other doctors had said he needs yet. And so but he is. I mean, through the prayers, I believe he's feeling better. And even though he hasn't really been treated, he's been given some pain medication and so on. But really, just the food and the environment and the prayers have really, and I believe the Lord's really helping with his healing process. So he's at a good place right now in the hospital. We're hoping that we would, you know, he'd be completely healed or get treated or get him released to us so he can come back to the U.S. before and not having to go back to that prison.
Indeed. I remember hearing when he was in Evan prison before they moved him that he was covered head to toe in lice. He was internally bleeding. He was just in dire straits. Mm-hmm. And I mean to tell you, so many of us went to the throne room like, Lord, please, you've got to heal him right where he stands. If they're denying him treatment, because I'd heard that one nurse was getting ready to treat him and then she finds out he's a Christian and refuses to touch him as unclean. And I'm thinking, he's the purest man in this prison. What, you know, I mean, oh my goodness.
So yes, they were treating him as unclean because he was a convert from Islam to Christianity. And in the new prison, actually, in Rajarishar, is where he was feeling, that was a dark time in my life when they moved him there. He had lice. He was fainting. He was bleeding. He was coughing up blood. It was horrible. He had knife at his throat. People were taking his food. He was in the murder ward. People who were on death row for murders and rape. And so it was a really dark time. Learning to trust God again. Okay, Lord, this is a new prison. It's worse. I didn't think it could get worse, but there's a reason for that, and you will use this for good as well. And so that was that. I asked for a lot of prayers, so I appreciate you guys praying. It was a very hard time for me and his family to know he's in such a horrible place, and he's covered with lice, and he's hurting.
And now he's in the hospital, and he's just got a tiny bit of a reprieve. And Tiffany, let's go to you for just a moment. There's a clemency program, for lack of a better phrase, maybe you can correct me, but that really where they make some decisions on based on possibly freeing prisoners each year at this time at their new year. Is that right?
Yeah, traditionally during the new year season in Iran, which we're presently in, this is like a 2-week celebration. It's called Nowruz, which means new day. And at that, they give select prisoners of conscience and political prisoners a new day, essentially a new start. And so the supreme leader, the head of the religious authority, which is actually the head of the government as well there, signs off on granting clemency and pardons to a list of these prisoners. And we have been advocating, and I know folks have been praying, that during this season that spring would come, that the new day would come, and that there would be mercy on these leaders' hearts to add Saeed's name to that list.
And what are the chances, do you think, of his name being added to that list?
I'm not sure that I can put a numerical number on it, but I do believe that, and Nagme and I believe this, I think, on a spiritual level as well as just kind of the legal level, that the Lord is doing something in this season, that there is spring coming to the desert and that we are seeing that turn. And so we're praying that the hearts are turned, but that's gonna take God's work. That's going to be something that has to happen on a spiritual level. Of course, we are working the angles that we can. And a lot of people see this struggle as a struggle between the United States and Iran. So first, I think primarily I'm going to say it's a spiritual struggle between Islam and Christianity. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, I would say from like the world side of things, it's actually probably more of a struggle inside of Iran between their hardliner fundamentalist kind of the extreme line of Islam there, and their moderates fighting it out, who's going to gain control of this country right now. And then maybe on a third level, we get the complication between the United States and Iran. So first and foremost, I'd be praying for that spiritual bondage to be broken. And then second, obviously, we are commanded to pray for those in authority, and that would be for these fundamentalists and these religious authorities in Iran who determine on the worldly side, Saeed's current fate and whether he'll be released to come home and granted clemency.
Nagme, do you know of any stories from Evan Prison of things that God did that were an encouragement to him in spite of all of his suffering?
You know, both prisons, God gave him a favor. There was people that really were drawn to him, and there was some that had dreams and visions about Jesus and would ask him, and they became his protectors when they discovered Christ, and they would protect him from a lot of the attacks within the prison. And he, he saw marriages get healed. A lot of these people in prison were had issues in their families, and once they discovered, this relationship with Christ, and their marriages got healed. They were going through divorce, and the divorces stopped. And he just saw a lot of healings in the families. And I had calls from wives saying, "My husband has changed, and he's not this angry, depressed, hopeless person. He's found joy and peace in prison." And I was able to talk to some of the wives who'd seen transformed lives in prison, and were wondering, how is this even possible? How that person who was so in such despair had hope and joy. And I think for Saeed to know that, I think for both of us to know that this is a horrible trial, but God is using it to help others, to even one person is a big celebration in heaven.
Again, folks, that was Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme Abedini, and Tiffany Behrens from the ACLJ. If you have not yet signed that petition, you can do it at BeHeardProject.com. We will, of course, keep you posted on Pastor Saeed's case. I know this is one that so many of you care about, have stood with us on. We will continue to keep you posted as our diplomatic efforts on his behalf continue. But, folks, as we close the broadcast today, if you believe in a free internet, if you think the internet should remain free. It should remain free of international intervention from the likes of China, Russia, and Iran. I would encourage you to call our petition line and add your name to our demand that that transfer not happen. 877-989-2255. You can also sign online at ACLJ.org. But folks, stand for a free internet today as we close the broadcast. 877-989-2255.
As we know, the internet has become one of the most powerful communications and information platforms on the planet. And since its inception, the technical management of the internet has rested with the United States. There is no reason to trust that dictators from Russia and China will protect our freedoms. Stand with the ACLJ and send a message to President Obama and to Congress. Maintain American control and protect our online liberty. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, ACLJ.